Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you for drawing us here this weekend.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you again.
Amen.
Cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
Lord, as we touch this matter of this universal conflict,
Amen.
Pray for us.
Amen.
Hide us in you,
Amen.
Under your prevailing blood.
Amen.
Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Lord, speak to us.
Amen.
Speak to each one of us personally. Affectionately.
Amen.
Lord, open our eyes to see you.
Amen.
Lord, attract us more.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. My name is Juan Fuentes. I'm from Newington, Connecticut. And I'm so happy to be here with you this morning.
Amen.
I just would like to ask, how many of you were not here last night? If you could, about a third, maybe. A little bit less than that. Let's take a look at our booklet, and let's read together the title of the topic for this weekend. Okay, the conflict between the two kingdoms. Okay, again, the conflict between the two kingdoms. So let's open to message number one, and let's read the title of message number one together. The church engaging in spiritual warfare to defeat God's enemy and bring in the kingdom of God. How about brothers one?
In order to know
God's economy, we need to see the spiritual things behind the physical things. The spiritual world behind the physical world. Sisters two. Spiritual warfare. Three, the purpose of spiritual warfare is to bring in the kingdom of God. Okay, then four altogether. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare in the splendor of their consecration. Okay, this weekend, the focus is on the battle between these two kingdoms, which means that the whole weekend we'll be talking about a spiritual warfare. And for this, we need to be under the covering of the Lord's blood. We need to be hidden in Him.
Amen.
And we need to pray very much that the Lord will give us a vision, that we would really see that there is a battle going on in this universe.
Amen.
And that we are in that battle. If we are not aware that we're in a battle, then we just go about our day as if there were no battle. So if we don't see, then we are victims of ignorance. And I believe in my heart and the burden of the brothers is that we would see so that we could make a decision based on our vision. And then based on that, what we see, and how the Lord speaks to us, we willingly would consecrate ourselves to the Lord because God wants to do one thing. He wants to bring in His kingdom to the earth.
Amen.
And the way He does it is He does it through people.
Amen.
Through human beings created in His image and in His likeness and who have given Him the ground to first rule and reign within them and then use them to spread this kingdom to others. But there is a battle. There is a battle in the universe. And because there was another will that rose up against God's will. And in the Bible, there are places where we see that there is an actual spiritual battle going on. And in outline number one, last night, our brother brought out this matter of Daniel. In Daniel, after Daniel had received the Lord speaking concerning the future of Israel, he set himself to find out what is it. And he afflicted himself, and during that, for 3 weeks, he was seeking to know. In other words, he was praying. But his prayer is seen not to be answered. But after 3 weeks, an angel came, and he comforted him, and he said, from the day that you started to pray, The answer was sent. But I was opposed by the king of Persia. So there was this opens up a view, a vista to us that in the spiritual realm, there is a battle. On the earth, there is a man seeking to know God's will. But then there is an evil force that opposes that person to know God's will. But then on the other side, there is another angel, another entity, one with God, that is coming to try to release the answer to the prayer. And then he says that Michael also stood with him. But then he says, and the priest of Javan is coming. That's another evil entity. These are the cosmocrats. You know, these are the rulers and the evil powers in the air that are opposing God and that are opposing man from knowing God's will. So, brothers and sisters, this morning and the entire weekend, we need to be very prayerfully, Lord, I don't want this time to be wasted. Amen. I came here, I presented my body, and by your mercy, I want to see this battle. Amen. By your mercy, I want to see what you're doing on the earth. Amen. And by your mercy, I want to give myself to you. Amen. So that you would use me however you want to use me for the bringing in of your kingdom. Amen. Wow. What a high calling. Amen. Young people, this is worth giving our lives to. Amen. But first we have to see. Otherwise, there are many things in the world that seem worthwhile giving ourselves to. We may want to have this type of career. We may want to have this kind of salary. We may be attracted by the arts or by education or by all these things are pulling for our commitment to give ourselves to these things. And of course, we are in the world, and as being in the world, we have to have an education. We have to have a proper job to provide for our families. But we need to beware that behind every kind of occupation, behind every kind of outward calling in the world, there is Satan. What? Behind medicine is Satan. Behind education is Satan. Behind art is Satan. Behind sin is Satan, of course. But all the other things I mentioned, they seem so good. What do you mean education is Satan, you know, behind that? So we'll get a little bit into this, into the second outline. And how about let's read together the title for message 2. The battleground of the mind in the universal warfare. Okay, so it is a universal warfare. I wanted to mention there are other places in the Bible where we see that there is a spiritual battle going on. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah is there, and his attendant goes out, and then he sees that there is the Syrian army, horses and chariots all around, and he's scared. And then Elijah said, don't worry. And then Elijah prayed to Jehovah that his eyes would be opened. Okay, just imagine. It's just Elijah and his attendant. And around them is a ferocious army trying to, you know, they're coming to do away with them. But Elijah is not bothered. So he says, because he sees what's in the spiritual realm. But his attendant doesn't. So Elijah prays that Jehovah would open the eyes of his attendant. And when he opens the eyes, then he sees. He says, don't worry. There are more on our side than on their side. Amen. Let's say that together. There are more on our side than on their side. Amen. Okay, this matches the New Testament thought. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Let's say that together. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Who is in you?
The Lord Jesus.
Amen. He's greater.
Amen.
So then he sees, he opens his eyes, and then he sees around him there is chariots, you know, chariots of fire and an army. And then Elisha prays to the Lord. He says, Lord, cause him to be blind. And then he says that he were blinded. Who caused the blindness? That whole army that was there. They carried out the prayer. Do you follow me? There is another realm. On the Lord's Day morning, or on Monday morning, or on Tuesday morning, while you're getting ready for school, when you're making choices what to do, what to wear, when you're making choices what to do after you get out of school, there is another realm. There is another sphere in which there is a battle waging for what will you choose that day? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, there's another portion. In Joshua chapter 5, when Joshua is ready to go into Jericho, you know, here he is, he has been commissioned by God to take his people into the good land. And there he's there, right at the verge of Jericho. And then he sees a man standing with his sword drawn. Then he asks him, who are you for? Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And the answer was, neither. I am the captain of Jehovah's hosts. And then he fell down and worshiped him. And they said, what should I do? And then he said, take off your shoes because the land in which you are is holy.
Amen.
Doesn't that remind you of something else that happened? Right. When Moses saw the Lord in the burning bush, the Lord told him, take off your shoes because the ground you're in is holy. Who was that? That was God. That was the Lord appearing to him. Oh, there is another realm, young people. We, including myself, we just live so much by what we see, what we touch, what we are able to substantiate with our physical senses. But we need to look to the Lord. Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
That I would see that it's another realm. And the battle is for you. Wow. Whom will you choose? But that has to do a lot with our mind. Okay, so let's read together point one. Two wills, two plans, two arrangements in the universe. A, sisters. Okay, sisters, all together, okay?
In the Bible, we see the will of God and the will of Satan.
Right. So, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, predestinated us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay? I'd like us to take your Bibles out and let's read together Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Okay? Revelation 4, 11. Okay, we don't need to talk. Let's just read together, okay? You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you have created all things, and because of your will, they were and were created. God has a will, and the will that God has is according to what makes him happy. It is something that makes God happy. And that is, he wants to have a group of people filled with his life that would do two things, express him and represent him, right? So in order to carry that will out, He created the universe. All the items in the creation were there so that this will of God can be carried out. Then man is created in God's image. But we know that man fell. But so God did not give up that man. Praise the Lord. He did not give us up. Amen. Right? And he himself became a man in order to remove the problem of sin between God and man and come as the life-giving spirit to fill us with his life. Praise the Lord for God's will. Everything that he has done, he's done it with this in view, to fulfill his heart's desire according to his will. Okay? But there's another will in the universe that rose up against God's will. So now we have the battle, this battle of the two kingdoms, we can say, or this conflict between the two kingdoms, is the conflict between two wills, the will of God and the will of Satan. Okay? So here, concerning God's plan and arrangement, we know that in order to fulfill his purpose, God made a plan. That's what the Bible calls his economy. So here, it says, these two wills issue in two plans and two arrangements. Brothers, one. God.
The plan and arrangement is his economy.
Right. Sisters. So what does God want to do? He wants to dispense himself into us.
Amen.
He wants to fill us with himself. But in order for that to happen, we need to be open to God's dispensing. Okay? Then we have B altogether. God the Father's household economy is to dispense himself in Christ into his chosen people that he may have a house to express himself. That is the church, the body of Christ. So God is not just interested in us personally or particularly as an individual in the sense of fulfilling his purpose. He wants us to be filled ourselves, but that filling so that we can be built up with others as his household, as the body of Christ. So one very crucial matter is that you would know that this conflict, in order for us to be victorious in this conflict, we must be in the body.
Amen.
You should write that down. In order to be victorious in this conflict, I must be in the body.
Amen.
In other words, built up with others that are pursuing this goal. What is the goal? It's to fulfill God's purpose. What is the goal? Is to bring in God's kingdom to the earth. Okay? Then, here we have the other will. And Satan has a plan and arrangement also. So, point two says, Satan's plan and arrangement is the world. So, here, the world is in contrast to the economy that the Father wants to have, right? There are two arrangements. God wants to dispense into himself into man. Satan came in, tricked man, and dispensed himself into man. Oh, Lord Jesus, what happened? So now we find ourselves in this dilemma. We created in the image of God, to express God and to represent God. Now we have something, we have another life that opposes God's life, that causes us to do the things that we don't want to do. Right? Have you had that experience? You want to do something, you want a purpose to do something proper, to be proper with your family or have a good attitude with your parents. And the minute you make that decision, then the next time you come in contact with your parents, that decision seems like it never happened. You lost your temper again. Oh, Lord. It is another realm. And this being, Satan, got into us. And he has an arrangement. And this arrangement is the world. Okay? So here it says, Satan's plan and arrangement is the world. So in 1 John 2:15, we are encouraged by the Apostle John. He says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. When I started to fellowship with you earlier, I mentioned all these compartments of the world. I mentioned education. I mentioned music. I mentioned art. I mentioned sin. All these things. You can call the world university. And in the world university, there is a course for you. Do you follow me? Because the way we were created and the fact that we have the fallen nature in us, there is something in us that matches at least one of those courses in the world. It may not match me, that course, but it matches you. That was specifically designed so that you would be usurped, or in other words, taken over. To be usurped is, for example, is to have somebody else pretend that they are you. Do you follow me? Okay. What's your name?
Peter,
can you come here and help me? Okay. So here is Peter. And Peter, what would you like to study?
Bioengineering.
Bioengineering. Okay. He wants to study bioengineering. But that, you know, and then he applies to all these colleges, right? And then he gets in. And when he goes to go to his school that got accepted, he doesn't go. I go and I say, I'm Peter. I usurped Peter. I took his place in wanting to do what he wanted. Do you see what I mean? So he got in, but I'm the one acting as Peter. Is it Peter or is it me? It's me. I'm usurping. I'm making believe that I am him. Okay, thank you. Okay. What Satan does by using the world is that if we give ground to loving the world, even a little bit, he will come and pretend to be us and live in us as if it were us. You follow me? In other words, you become like a machine being used by this entity. This is real. This is the spiritual realm. So don't think, oh, if I just love this, and if I love that, if I give myself to this, then one day I will come back to the Lord. Be careful. Because we're handing ourselves over to this other entity that opposes God and hates us and doesn't want us to be useful to bring in the kingdom of God. So you are very important. What is your mind filled with? You know? Okay, so in the Bible, the word world is used in many different contexts. The specific context we're talking about here is like in 1 John 2:15, where he talks about do not love the world. Here, the world refers to Satan's scheme, system, and organization to usurp the place of God in man, and finally, to gain full possession of man. Okay, how many of you would like to be possessed by Satan fully? Oh, praise the Lord, none of you. Hallelujah. That's a good start, right? But then we need to realize, okay, that is a battle. Where? In my mind. The mind is the battleground. So here, okay, point B under 2 says, the mind behind the system of the world. Okay, in John 12:31, the Lord Jesus said, now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. Okay. Who is the ruler of this world? Satan. He's the prince of this age, prince of this world, right? And there is a mind, okay, that university has a president. Do you follow me? Remember, talk about the university of the world. It has a president. It has somebody that has put all these courses together. You know what his name is? Satan. So behind every systematized item in the world is Satan. So that's why in 1 John it tells us that the whole world, that's 1 John 5, lies on the evil one. The world is like a patient on a bed being operated on. But like the whole world, every item of the world is just under the influence of Satan. To try to do what? To, right here, to gain full possession of man. To usurp the place of God. So, our lives as believers, it's not like, oh, I was born, I just happened to be born in a Christian home, and at one time I believed in Jesus, but you know, I'm just living, I'm just doing everything, not realizing that the reason God calls us, the reason God chose us, is that God has a need. God has a need, young people. I never knew that. I never realized God had a need. And his need is for some human beings that would make a choice to live for him, to give their lives to him, so that he could do whatever he wants to do with their lives to fulfill his purpose. So that's why last night it ended with consecration. And the call there was not to stir up our emotions. Oh, you see how much the Lord loved us. You know, you need to give yourself to him. I believe our brother Dennis brought us to the point where we need to consider that as we give ourselves to the Lord unreservedly, there is a price to pay. So like in Luke 14, before the king goes to war, he considers, oh, there are 20,000 coming, we have 10,000. Maybe I should ask for the terms of peace before I go to war. But if I'm going to build something, I need to make sure that I have the right amount of material so I can finish the building. Otherwise, don't even start. Okay, so our consecration is very much done in the soberness of realizing, Lord, as a young person, maybe 14, 15, 16, 17, I give myself to you. I'd like for you to use my life to bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. To the earth. So lead me, guide me, protect me, strengthen me, build me up with others so that we could bring in your kingdom to the earth. Amen. That consecration, even though it's personal, that consecration is for the body.
And that consecration brings in God's kingdom.
Okay, so how about we read together point two? The battle between Satan's world and God's will is the battleground of the mind. So here, Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that as we consider the compassions of God, everything that God has done from his choosing us, from his separating us, from his working in our lives to sanctify us, to transform us, to bring us into the body, all those things in our life, what God has done for you thus far, consider your life as a young person. What God has done for you, all those are the mercies of God, the compassions of God. And as we consider that, then we are drawn to him by his love, and we are constrained to present ourselves to him. I said, okay, Lord, here I am. So we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's many presenting, but it's just one sacrifice.
Amen.
Right? And then the second verse tells us that we should not be conformed or shaped to this age. Right? It says in Romans 12, 2, it says, and do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Okay, to be fashioned according to this age is to be molded according to how the world looks today. The age refers to how the world looks in our age. Today is the what? 2019s. So we're in the decade of the 2010s, right? That decade could be an age which has certain philosophies, which has certain ways of dressing, which has certain ways of communicating, right? So that if we are shaped by that, then we are being shaped to conform to the image of the world and express the ruler of this age, okay? So then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible tells us, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So because we're in this universal conflict, Satan has plans, plots, devices, designs, wiles, intention, purposes. He's not just their idol. He is warring against God, and he is warring against us. But the Bible says we should be aware of his schemes. What is it that he uses? What is it that the plans that he tries to perpetrate that would bring us to be one with him and his kingdom, and rather than to be one with God and his kingdom? Okay, so then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful before God for the overthrowing of strongholds, as we overthrow reasonings and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Okay. So, how many of you are regenerated? Meaning, how many of you have received the life of God? Okay, the Bible tells us when we got regenerated, we received a new heart, right?
Amen.
And a new spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, okay, you know this man, right? This is the mind. This is the conscience. Fellowship, intuition,
mind, will, emotion. Okay? When we got regenerated, we receive a new heart and a new spirit, right? But, write this down, we did not receive a renewed mind. Our mind needs to be renewed. So, our mind needing to be renewed, you know, thoughts become a stronghold in our mind. They're, you know, let's say like here, this is like this big wall around our mind. And these are thoughts that rise up against the knowledge of God. So the thoughts that rise up against the knowledge of God need to be brought under obedience. Okay, let me give you an example. Before I really started to read the Bible, I had certain concepts about society. And actually, those thoughts, for example, okay, so I thought, okay, I myself am heterosexual. You know, I like girls. But if somebody else, being a boy, likes boys, oh, just let it be. Okay? But then I read the Bible. And then in the Bible, it tells us there plainly that it is an abomination for a male to lie with a male. So then the thought in the Bible affected my thought that was according to the age, and I chose to align my thinking with God's thinking.
Amen.
And then that thought that rose up against the knowledge of God was brought into under what? Obedience. Into the obedience of Christ. Do you follow me?
Amen.
We have, the world infuses us with its world philosophy. There are many things today that actually are opposite to what God tells us in His Word. So today, what is called good, the Bible calls evil. And what the Bible calls evil, the world today calls it good. Okay. Which will you choose? Will you choose what the world tells us about living, about making choices? Or will we choose to take God's word as the way for me to live and the way for me to think? So you see how the battleground is the mind? If we choose to continue to think according to the age of this world, if we choose, then what happens is we're shaped. Even though we're believers that the life of God is in our spirit, but in our living, we are enemies of God. In our mind. Oh Lord, renew our mind.
Amen.
So there in 12:2 it tells us, be transformed by the renewing of the mind that you may prove what the will of God is. Remember, God has a will. And it's not to make you happy. God wants a group of people to be built together, to be filled with His life, to express Him, to represent Him, to bring in the kingdom to the earth. Oh, Lord Jesus. So there are many things in our mind that rise up against the knowledge of God. And this thoughts in our mind that is compromised, the enemy uses to try to debilitate our will and eventually possess our spirit. What? Remember, God has a kingdom, and Satan also has a kingdom. And these two are at war. And praise the Lord for the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God has a renewing element in it.
Amen.
Write that down. The Word of God is able to renew my mind. So that's why it's so important, young people, for you to read the Bible. Read the Bible, and as you read, ask the Lord for understanding. Ask the Lord for guidance and for light as you read the Word. So that's our reading personally, right? But also, not only do we have the Bible, we have the ministry that opens the Bible to us. Okay, so I may be reading the Bible, and I understand this way. And I think, oh yeah, that's from God. But then I go to the footnote, and it's totally the opposite of what I understood. Praise the Lord for the ministry.
Amen.
I read the Bible. I thought I understood the Bible. But then I opened the Word, the ministry, and it opens up. Oh, this is what it's really saying. What a mercy that we have not only the Bible, not only do we have the Spirit, but we have also the ministry that opens the Word to us. So as a young person, I would encourage you to pray, Lord, give me an appetite for the ministry.
Amen.
There are many little booklets. You know, I remember as I was coming into the church life, I just was working, and every day I would take what they call at that time a rainbow booklet. And you know, you get breaks at work. Maybe 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there. And during that time, in two breaks, I read the little booklet. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That became a good foundation, you know. And today, you don't even have to have a booklet. You just have it in your, you know, you have it in your cell phone. But there are many things competing for your attention on this apparatus. So I would encourage you, buy the little booklet. Turn your phone off and read the little booklet. Otherwise, you're reading about, oh, my mind needs to be renewed. And then, bing. Oh, I just got into the metro. Somebody's telling you they just got into the metro. Who cares? I need my mind renewed. Or, oh, which shoes should I wear? Which ones do you like? And then you get 50 people answering. Oh. And then at the end you realize, oh, I wore some other pair. You wasted your time by liking, you know. Do you see? Satan uses, it seems like harmless. Oh, which shoes? Tell me. Or I've seen people, oh, which pair of glasses? This or this? And then the next time you see him, neither. Oh, Lord Jesus. What is the point? Many things are competing for our attention and what we let in our mind. Young people, learn to treasure the Word.
Amen.
To treasure the ministry. How should a young man preserve his way? Right? By treasuring the Word, His Word in your heart, in his heart. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, says, no one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please the one who enlisted him. Young people, could you stand up? Stand up. Everybody stand up. Okay? You know. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Okay. Why did I have you stand up? Because I just read this verse about being enlisted. Do you know you have been enlisted?
Amen.
Okay, sit down. You were enlisted by God when you got regenerated. You got enlisted. As what? As a soldier. But what kind of soldier will you be? Okay. I just was thinking about, you know, in our history in the United States, you have had periods of time in which there is mandatory to join the army, and there are times where there is just up to you to join the army. Yes?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so if it is mandatory, when you come of age, that's where you go. But when it is up to you, it depends on your vision. Why do you want to enlist? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. As believers, we all have been enlisted. But I would say we still have to have a vision to give ourselves to be trained by the Lord, to be prepared by the Lord, to be built up with others, so that we could really be useful to the Lord in our enlistment.
Amen.
Perhaps many of us don't even realize, oh, I'm a soldier in God's army. But you are. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so that's point A. The compassion of God draws us to concentrate ourselves to God for His will, to consecrate ourselves to God for His will. Being fashioned according to this age, the part of the world which we contact at the present hinders us from seeing, perceiving, and realizing God's will. Last night, we ended with a matter of consecration. And perhaps many of you did spend some time with the Lord and gave yourselves to the Lord. But consecration, this is a big point Brother Nee makes. Consecration is not to be passive. Especially in our mind. Passivity, when we are passive, that gives ground to Satan to work. God respects our will, and he will never take over our mind. But Satan is a pernicious being that wants to take over our mind.
Amen.
And that wants to take over our will. So what he does is he tricks us. Okay, and consecration is not like, oh, I just give myself to the Lord and now I let God do everything on me. On the one hand, we've said in the past, yes, I present myself to the Lord so that he can do in me what I can do. But that doesn't mean that I don't use my thinking ability. Okay, let me read to you what our mind is. Okay, our mind is our thinking organ. Our mind, in our mind, we know, we think, we imagine, we recollect, we understand. In our mind is our intellectual power, our rationality, our wisdom, and our intelligence. So when God saves us and when we consecrate ourselves to Him, that doesn't mean that now I put my mind on the side and I don't think for myself and I don't. You know, don't have control of my own thoughts. Have you ever had this experience where you find yourself realizing, bing, this thought that just came into me? Okay, I don't know. Like maybe. On the morning of Tuesday morning, you're going to school and you're in the metro. And then you're just there, maybe you're reading the Bible on your way to the metro. Praise the Lord. And you're reading the Word. That's wonderful. Your mind is being renewed. But then, all of a sudden, this thought comes. Oh, just throw yourself through the window. What? Never happened to you, right? Or I'm going down the highway. I'm going down the highway. Listen. I'm down the highway, and there is an 18-wheeler right by me. I think, let's just end it all. Where did that come from? I wasn't thinking about that. That was a flaming dart that came into my mind. It's a sudden thought that you didn't have. It wasn't in your consideration at all. You have to realize that is from Satan.
Amen.
I mean, those two are kind of extreme, right? Throw yourself through the window. But there are other things that, have you had this thought? you're going to your classes, and then all of a sudden, this thought comes, this one word. Search for this word. Have you ever had this thought? Search. Do a Google search for this word. Oh, yeah. Where did that come from? I wasn't even thinking about that. And then this word came into me, and it suggests, do a search on that. And then you do a search on that, and you end up in hell. What do I mean by that? Okay, you end up in a website where you shouldn't be because that word that you just searched. It wasn't even in your thinking, but it got shot into you. And then you took it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that when I get home. And you can't wait to get home to sit down in front of the thing and look for what does that mean. And you get caught. Learn to reject those thoughts. Say no to those thoughts.
Amen.
You see, our mind is the battleground. I'm sorry it's taking so long. But it really is the battleground, brothers and sisters. Okay, here. This is the strategy of the ruler of this world, the God of this age, who uses the world to harden, blind our thoughts, causing our understanding to be darkened, and issuing in a daily walk that is absolutely the same as the Gentiles, that is, in the vanity of the mind, and also issuing in not only not knowing God's will, but not being willing to know His will. Okay. And all temptations occur in the mind. It starts with a thought. All temptations occur in the mind. So what is repentance? It's to have a turn in our mind.
Amen.
So when we got saved, our mind was turned to God.
Amen.
But our living should be a living of turning to God all the time, our mind, so that He can gain the ground in us for His kingdom. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age, He blinds the thoughts of the unbelievers. Right? The thoughts can be hardened, according to 2 Corinthians 3:14. And actually, in Ephesians 4:17 through 18, if we walk according to the vanity of our mind, what happens? We're alienated from the life of God, and then we become hardened in our heart, and then we do things just like unbelievers. Even though we're regenerated, in our living, people can't tell. Believer, unbeliever. Christian, non-Christian. In your school, they should know you are a believer. Let them know. I hope they're not surprised when you tell them, I'm a believer. Oh, I never knew that. There should be some in our living that testifies, yes, I believe in Jesus. I was talking to a sister the other day, and she was having some conversation with one of her relatives. And the relative was putting down the Bible, like, that's just a fairy tale book. You know, when somebody says that, there should be a righteous anger within us. Don't hit them. You know, the Lord was angry, yet He did not sin. You know, we can be indignant that that person would speak of the Bible like that. So what should be my attitude? I should pray for them. Because that person thinks in their intelligence, oh, I have all kinds of arguments to show you the Bible is not true. Or another person may be ignorant or may not know things. Both the one who thinks himself intelligent and the one who thinks himself ignorant about what the Word says, both are blinded. But the God of this age, the God of this age does a blinding work on the eyes of the hearts of the unbelievers, so that when the gospel comes, it would not penetrate. The light of the gospel cannot penetrate because they can't see the light of the gospel, because their thoughts have been blinded. The mind has been blinded. Their thoughts have been hardened. So we need to pray for ourselves and for others Lord, I don't want to be blind.
Amen.
Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
This entire weekend, I want to see something I never seen.
Amen.
This will not be another nice conference.
Amen.
What I saw, so and so and so and so and so and so. And they had this kind of dress and this kind of shoes. Forget about that.
Amen.
I hope this weekend you see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You'll be drawn to give yourself to the Lord. That the Lord will renew our minds.
Amen.
That the Lord would gain our being for Him.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it tells us that the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Oh, Lord, our minds need to be set where?
Amen.
On the spirit. Think of the things which are above. But you tell me, oh, I have classes every day. Yes, we all do. We all have to live in the world. But we have to be people that have a personal, intimate, spiritual, affectionate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
You have to know your Lord.
Amen.
You know, one of the verses that's been touching me a year ago, the brother Ed shared with us, is that we need to have roots downward and bear fruit upward.
Amen.
Our roots need to be deep down in the Lord. Our daily life must have a sure foundation, which is my personal, intimate, affectionate, and a spiritual relationship with whom? With my Lord. With my Lord. These conferences will not sustain you. The Lord's Day morning meetings will not sustain you. The young people's meeting will not sustain you. What will sustain you is your deep roots that come out of your intimate, personal, spiritual, and affectional time with the Lord every day. Young people, may within your hearts there be a desire, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to know your voice. You know, I shared with you before. For many years, my prayer was to the Lord, Lord, you said your sheep will know your voice, right? Lord, I'm one of your sheep, but I get confused all the time. I think it's you, but it's really me. Or I try to do this, and it's not. Lord, you said, I will know you. Lord, cause me to know your voice.
Amen.
That I would not be cheated by other voices. You know, besides the Holy Spirit, there are many other spirits. Even the Bible speaks about lying spirits. The Bible tells us Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. When Satan comes to you pretending to be Jesus, will you have a deep sense? That's not Jesus. That's Satan. Get away from me. That is a discernment deep in your spirit that comes from what? From spending time with the Lord. From knowing your Lord. So when some kind of temptation comes, or some suggestion comes, pretending to be the Lord, you know deep within, that's not the Lord. How did that come about? Your mind is being renewed.
Amen.
Your roots are going down. And you're getting to know your Lord. Anyway, I have to stop here. How about we have a little prayer?
Amen.
Okay? How about just personally, not with the one next to you, personally pray to the Lord where the Lord touched you in your heart, okay?
just have a couple of corporate prayers.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Guard my mind.
Amen.
I want to choose you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, guard my mind.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, renew my mind.
Amen. Amen.
Help us to be victorious over the world.
Amen. Amen.
Some time for sharing overflow, either from this message or from last night.
Amen.
So, feel free to come up to the front and we'll set up some microphones.